college student from Boise Bible College, Hunter, one of our two interns who is with us through the middle of July or so. He's going to come up and present a Bible message from God's Word today to all of us. And so this is Hunter Croft, and would you give him your best branch welcome that you can? Hunter. God bless you. Thanks.
Well, am I on? Can you all hear me through the microphone? Okay. Well, yeah, I'd like to personally welcome you all to the branch. I am really excited to be here. This is an awesome opportunity I have to be able to present a message to you. As David said, I am studying preaching at Boise Bible College, and I've been doing that for 3 years now, and it has been a huge blessing to be able to do that, and it's a huge blessing to be able to be here sharing with you all today. Every time I get a chance to preach, it's a really exciting but nerve-wracking opportunity. I mean, trying to take something as important as God's Word and share it with people is a really humbling experience, and not humbling in the way where you actually mean it makes you prouder. It makes me humble to think, wow, I'm trying to take this awesome book, and what am I doing with it? I don't even know. But hopefully I can share something with you today. Today, as we've been honoring the graduates, I'd just like to congratulate you all personally. I remember going through high school, and 12 years is a long time to bring to a culmination, and we're all proud of you and very excited for you to go on to your next steps in life. I remember personally, I went through a lot of transitions after graduation. Graduation itself is a big transition. All of a sudden, you're going from going to school at this place where you don't really have an option. You have to take the classes that they have. You're going to all these classes that you don't really care about necessarily. Some of them you care about, but most of them you don't. And it's a big transition to all of a sudden have all this freedom. You have the whole world to go through. But you finish that, and you're done for now. And it's very exciting. But that is just the first of many transitions that are coming. I remember probably in the 3 years since I graduated, I've gone through more transitions than I went through in my entire first 18 years of life. The 3 years after graduation are so full of transitions. You have the transitions like moving out of your house. I moved from Spokane, where I grew up, to Boise, and I left my parents, and I started living in the dorms, and that was exciting and nerve-wracking, and transitions are just this amazing opportunity, but they're scary sometimes. And I developed new friendships, and I left behind friendships in Spokane. And I have new freedoms. I'm able to go out and get a cheeseburger at midnight now too, without my parents telling me not to. I have new responsibilities. No longer do bad grades mean that my parents and teachers are mad at me. Now I'm mad at me because I lose scholarships, and it just does not help to do poorly in school anymore. And pretty soon I have a big transition coming up, and that is getting married to my fiance Taylor, who was able to come up earlier. That's exciting and also nerve-wracking. I'm trying to wrap my mind around what it means to get married, and I've heard it said that a wedding is as much a funeral as it is a wedding, and I thought, what does that mean? But I'm starting to get it. I'm like putting to death this person that's just myself, and I'm going to be joining with another person, and I'm excited for that, but very, very terrified at the same time. It's going to be a very awesome time. Most of these transitions that I've talked about so far have been pretty positive transitions. They've been things that might not be fun, might be difficult, but have all been pretty good steps forward. But life is full of transitions that also are not so positive. Life is full of losses and difficult times that really stretch us. Transitions like loss of loved ones, or loss of a job, or loss of your possessions, or even loss, all difficult transitions that at some point we're going to be going through some type of them. None of us really like to change. I think we all have inertia. The law of inertia states that a body in motion will tend to stay in that motion. And we all have that inertia. We all want to keep doing what we're doing. None of us want to change. It reminds me of a quote from Leo Tolstoy that says, "Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself." And I think that's true. All of us see all this change out there that needs to happen, but we have our inertia carrying us in one direction, and we don't want anything to come in and change that. We don't like change, even for the better. And so I want to look at someone in the Bible's life who had a lot of transition that can help us understand how we go through transitions and teach us something about how we can grow closer to God through those transitions. I want to look at the Apostle Peter's life as an example of transition. Peter, when we first, he is a successful fisherman. He is got his whole life figured out for him, basically. He knows how many nets he needs to go fishing, and he knows how to clean those nets, and he knows where to get more good nets. He is on top of things. He has a family that he takes care of, and someday will take care of him. Peter has figured out. He's up in the Sea of Galilee, and he's in a comfortable place. The Sea of Galilee is a beautiful area, and he just probably had everything figured out. He didn't need anything to change. He had a lot of inertia in what he was doing. And so Peter, one day while he was fishing, a man came up to him on the shore, and he had heard of this guy before. He was probably in the area talking and becoming well known. And this guy's name is Jesus. And he said to Peter, "Peter, I see that you're a fisherman, but will you follow me and become a fisher of men?" And that was a huge step for Peter to take. He had everything figured out. All of his life was taken care of if he stayed there. He could change things and go into uncertainty. He didn't even know anything about Jesus, really, except for that he was saying some cool things. But Jesus, a rabbi, comes up to him and says, "Will you follow me?" And Peter drops his nets and follows him. Just drops his nets and makes this transition to following Jesus. We've all been called to that at some point, whether it was initially we were committed to Jesus as Christ, or maybe first we just wanted to check him out and dropped our nets to go to follow him to hear more. It's not easy to make that transition. And if you're a believer, you know some of the difficulties of that. Maybe you didn't leave your occupation to follow Jesus, but you left something behind when you followed Jesus. And Peter followed this call and made this transition and grew closer to God through it. And it was a great transition for Peter. Peter was immediately in this group of men who were following Jesus and doing awesome things. And they were healing people and they were casting out demons. And Jesus was teaching amazing things that were challenging the religious elite. It was a revolution. And Peter soon realizes that this guy he's following is the Messiah. And to a Jew, the Messiah is a big deal. In fact, most prophecies in the Old Testament are pointing at the Messiah. He had been studying in Scripture the Messiah almost all of his life. And he realized that he found him. You see, the Jews were right now under oppression from the Romans. The Romans had come in and occupied Israel, and they didn't like it. They were having to pay taxes and having to deal with all the Roman guards, all these sorts of things that were causing trouble for the Jews, and they were under oppression. And they were ready for someone to come in, a Messiah, to come in and take over the government and turn things around for them. And Peter was excited to be part of that revolution. Peter was in his element. Peter was being bold in his faith when he was with Jesus, and he was able to say things that Jesus was even applauding. Peter was in his element. And it all climaxed on Palm Sunday, if you know the story. Jesus and the disciples go walking into Jerusalem, and everyone, a whole crowd of people gather, and they lay down their coats on the ground, and they wave palm branches, sing, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And they're hailing Jesus as the king. And Peter is excited to be following this king. Peter has found his king, and he's ready to fight for him to the death. And then one night, they were in the garden. The disciples and Jesus were all in the garden praying, or Jesus was telling them to pray, and the disciples kept falling asleep and then waking up and praying again. And before Peter knew what was happening, suddenly there was a mob surrounding them who were there for Jesus, and they had clubs and swords. And so Peter is ready for this transition. Peter is ready to change from being this peaceful guy who walks around and just kind of bugs the religious elite and says things here and there. Peter is ready to follow the king who's going to take over Jerusalem and turn things around. He's ready to follow the Messiah, even to his death. And so he takes out a sword and he cuts off the ear of one of the guards there. And so Peter is ready to fight. But Jesus instead does something that Peter didn't expect. This transition went very differently than he had hoped. Instead, Peter is told to put his sword back, and Jesus heals the guard's ear, and he's taken away by them, and he's put on trial and crucified. In a matter of moments, Peter's entire worldview got rocked. Peter thought that he was ready to follow a king who was going to do something amazing and lead a revolution. And now this guy that he'd been committing his life to and worshiping for the past 3 years all of a sudden is being killed on a cross. I'd like to introduce you to my friend Connor Williamson. Slide. This is Connor. He is a friend of mine, and this is him in 2008. He graduated at the age of 18 in 2008, and Connor was an athletic kid. He had a lot of talent, a lot of ability to play music and do sports, and he had everything going for him. I mean, you can tell he looks like he could do some good sports, you know. He had a lot ahead of him, and just at graduation, all these opportunities that I mentioned earlier about a life just opens up when you graduate were ahead of him. But then on June 16th, almost 8 years ago to the day, Connor went down to the lake with a friend to go swimming and dove into the water and actually hit a sandbar, kind of a freak accident. Broke his neck underwater and drowned there. And his friend, when he realized that Connor wasn't coming back up, pulled him out of the water, where paramedics resuscitated him, actually, and life-flighted him to a hospital, where he spent 4 months in surgeries and getting treatments. And at the end of all this, Connor was paralyzed from the neck down and unable to breathe on his own. That's a pretty terrible transition to go go from the first picture to that. And you can see that he's still looking pretty happy. But what a transition to go through. A kid with so much potential, so much ability, suddenly unable to breathe even on his own. Sometimes transitions rock our world and change everything that we thought was going on. Not everyone has gone through something this dramatic. Some of you probably have gone through something dramatic, maybe a divorce or things like that, that just completely change your life around. Peter thought he was following an earthly king. Peter thought he was following someone who was going to overthrow the government. But before he knew it, he was following a criminal who was being crucified on a cross. And a transition like this brings pain and confusion and fear. And when we let that fear rule over us in those transitions, we allow the transitions to pull us further away from God. And that's something that we actually see Peter do here. Peter, the man who moments ago was ready to take out a sword and fight off a mob of people, him and 13 guys were going to fight off a mob of people who were there to take Jesus. And he was ready to fight for Jesus. And just moments later, we see Peter outside the courtroom where Jesus is being tried. And Peter is asked by someone like, hey, do you know that Jesus guy? And Peter 3 times denies any involvement with Christ. Peter allowed this transition to put him in fear and to deny his Lord. And sometimes transitions do that to us. It seems like so often we allow a transition to push us further away from God. Sometimes even the positive transitions push us away from God. I get a promotion and I stop paying attention to God as much because things are going well, or something terrible happens and I just get so upset and I get afraid and I don't trust God anymore. Peter allowed himself to be pushed away from God and ultimately denied Christ. So often we let these things distance us from God. But that isn't the end of the story for Peter. Peter wasn't done yet. Jesus, as we know, through the records of the Bible, rose from the dead 3 days later after he was crucified. And Jesus went back to Peter and redeemed that relationship. He said, Peter, I know you denied me. And he asked Peter 3 times, Peter, do you love me? Which all 3 times Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. Notice that Jesus is still faithful to Peter despite Peter's unfaithfulness. And when Peter says that he loves Jesus, Jesus says in response, then feed my sheep. His sheep being the church, the Christians who are following him. And so at this point, Peter goes through another transition, the transition of following Jesus' call to do leadership. Peter went from someone who's denying Christ and by God's grace and forgiveness was able to be redeemed to go serve God And Peter actually wrote two books of the New Testament, 1st and 2nd Peter, and was a huge leader in the first century church. And from this we see that God continually holds his arms out to us, despite when we do not have faith in him, and we get afraid, and we deny him even. God is there waiting with open arms for us to come back to him. I'd like to go back to my friend Connor. Connor was presented with a horrible transition. You can't say that anything about this was positive. Connor, if he could go back and change it, he would. He would undo that whole day and still be able to walk. His whole family, all of his friends, none of us would wish this on our enemies, a transition like this. Life is ugly, and sometimes transitions like this happen. One day, a healthy young man is running around, playing sports, playing instruments, and doing impressive things with a whole life ahead of him, and the next day he's bound to a wheelchair. But through this entire tragedy, Connor and his family have fixed their eyes on God and have been fixed by their hope in Jesus Christ with their faith. Connor, through this entire time, has praised God. And you'll see the quote. I just saw this on his wall. It was someone who said, "You are such an inspiration and encouragement to me. You have not let your disability define you. Praise God." And people are seeing how much joy Connor has despite his circumstances, and they're seeing something about him, and he has something different, and that's Christ. So when transitions come, and that's when, not if, not all of us will go through something as horrible as Connor. I hope none of us have to. But when these transitions come, good and bad, we have faith in God so that he will bring us closer to him. And you might be wondering, why do I even need to have faith in God? Why can't I have faith in God? Why is God worth putting my trust in? And that's because God is bigger than any circumstances that we are in. Peter thought his entire world was crashing around him. Can you imagine that? Your whole life you've read about this guy who's going to come and do awesome things for your people, and you meet that guy. You didn't even think that he was supposed to be around when you were alive, but you meet that guy and you follow him for 3 years, and you're one of the closest guys to him, and he's doing all sorts of miracles with you, and you're ready to fight for him to the death, and then all of a sudden he tells you to put your sword away, and he's led away to be crucified, and your entire world just comes crashing down. All the doubts that Peter must have been having, was I following the wrong guy? Now he did all these miracles. What type of fear would you be going through? And yet God still had a plan despite Peter's fear and confusion and the circumstances that he was in. My friend Connor, when life just seemed to be going wrong and it all falls apart, God was calling him closer to him. I think if we look at all of life, in fact, if we look at life from beginning to end, it's one big transition from birth to death to heaven. God is calling us to be closer to him. And we have the opportunity in each of the little transitions along the way, from going to kindergarten, to going to high school, to getting your first job, to getting married. All these transitions are little ways that we can grow closer to God if we have faith in him. So many times we let things derail us, but God ultimately wants us to be closer to him. And eventually we're going to transition from this earth to heaven when we come to the end of our life and we can say, "God, I've been faithful, and I'm ready to be with you." He's bigger than any of the changes, the losses, or the failures in our lives. Finally, I want to read Romans 8:37 through 39 that I think speaks powerfully to just how powerful God is and how much we can put our trust in him. It says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen.